Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot, with Drupal workshops coming up in Portland, Oregon, and Providence, Rhode Island. For more information, go to lullabot.com/training.
My name's Steve Rude, SlantView on Drupal.org and the IRC. And I work for DivX, and the module that I'm probably spending the most time on right now is the cache router module. The goal of it is to allow users to have multiple back-end storage, what I call engines, to store cache data. So the ones we have implemented so far is APC, Xcache, database, file, and Memcache. Memcache probably be the most popular of them because a lot of people were using the Memcache module. And so with Memcache, you have two options. You have the Memcache module, which just says Memcache, or you have the cache router module, which you can actually choose per bin or per cache storage what you want. So if you wanted page caching to be on file or in Memcache, but you wanted the standard cache to be on APC because it's fast and it's something that's going to be replicated across all the boxes, where Memcache is something you would want centrally stored so that each web server would get the same copy of the cache data. So there's a couple different techniques. It's a technique I actually learned from studying Facebook and how they do their stuff. Is they have a lot of storage on the front line, which is any generic storage, any generic caching they put on each server, and then any centralized caching like profiles and users and things like that, they store in their Memcache farms. So it's an interesting technique that we can hopefully bring to Drupal. And I'm hoping to have a 1.0 release out sometime in the next month or two. So it should be pretty good.
It seems like it's a hybrid, and there's special techniques for different things you're doing on the site that you want different things. Can you talk just a little bit more about what are the differences between the different approaches, and what is the why would you need to have a hybrid multiple ways of caching?
So, I mean, there's different, it depends on the size of your site. Typically, on a big site with multiple web servers, you're going to mostly use Memcache because you want that centralized storage to grab the cache each time. But let's say you're ramping up to a site that needs multiple web servers, you only have one, you could run APC because it's a much faster cache than Memcache, and there's no network lag time to go to the cache and come back. So it ends up being naturally a lot faster. So I think that having one module that you can use to scale your site out as you grow without having to change and add new modules or move modules just gives a lot of people options, you know. And if you're on, say, a shared host and you don't have APC or Memcache, you could choose database or file caching and use something that will speed up your site and help you have these incremental steps as you grow your site up and not have to completely redo everything in the architecture each time. So that's kind of the goal in mind, is to give users options. And sometimes it's a religious war too. Some people like Xcache, some people like APC, and they both do a great job, and you know, one person will say one's better, one person will say the other's better. So, you know, I think if you just put the options in the hands of the users, allow them to use whatever they're comfortable with and whatever they want. So
this would allow them to use both at the same time?
Xcache and APC would be difficult to use at the same time because they both run in as a PHP module, and they can't run at the same time because both of them would try to turn the PHP into opcode cached code, which you can't have two at the same time. So that one in particular, you can't run those two simultaneous, but APC and Memcache, APC and file, APC and database, all those ones you could run together, or Xcache and file, Xcache and Memcache. So you could run all of those ones. You can kind of mix and match per bin or cache, whatever you want to call it.
So what got you started down this road of performance optimization and all this caching stuff?
Well, I've always had an interest in large scale, lots of traffic. In a previous life, I did network engineering and worked for a company called IP3, which had a network appliance that allowed internet access at like hotels and stuff like that. And so I did QA for them. So I'd always be running tests to try and see how well everything could perform and see how much traffic we could throw at the device before it started choking. So it's always been sort of a passion of mine. And then I've worked in several data centers and grown large farms of servers like Ancestry.com and AltaVista was some stuff I worked on back in the day. And I wasn't on the application side then, I was on the network side, but it was always really interesting how you scale something out. And so when I started doing web application stuff, I naturally had an affinity for that stuff, and I ended up working on a couple big sites, Lifetime TV, the FastCompany.com, and InkBiznet stuff. And so on those ones, we had to scale out and do some stuff. And then now, as in DivX, we do 20 million uniques a month or something. So I definitely had to make sure that that site could perform to keep up with the downloads and everything too. So it's something I just kind of have an affinity for and naturally got into, and end up getting to work on some fun projects that could use it. So,
what's a common mistake that you see a lot of people make when it comes to working with this type of caching modules?
I'd say the most common mistake is people pre-optimizing the wrong things, you know? They'll pre-optimize using Memcache and all this other stuff, but they won't take the front-side performance seriously, optimizing how many CSS files and JavaScript files and things are being downloaded. They won't optimize their image sizes on the downloads, all the things that actually take a lot longer to load on a web page than the 10 to 200 milliseconds it takes to load the actual HTML from the server. And I think that there's a lot of misconceptions about which things are most important for that. The other thing is I think that people don't take the time to optimize the database enough and check the slow query log and how to tune the database to be performing well, because a well-tuned database could be serving the results back about as quick as like Memcache or something if you make sure all your indexes are correct and things like that. And I think a lot of people don't pay attention to those things. They just want to throw a Band-Aid on top of something that's broken. So when you're writing your SQL queries or making a table, make sure you have your indexes set and you're hitting index data and all that. So I think those are some the most common.
It sounds like people are attacking the symptoms and not the core diseases. And so what are some of the tools that you like to use to be able to identify what the root of the problems are?
So with MySQL, I use an application called Navcat, which allows you to kind of watch the server. You know, you could use it with, there's a program called MySQL Top too, which allows you to watch the processes on the server. You kind of see which tables are the most hit tables on the server. You know, I use Xdebug on my Mac to test some, code bugs and seeing where things are kind of breaking. The Devel module is, like, invaluable. You know, you can see all the database queries that are going on per page and the timing and everything. And I don't think I could even begin to tune a site without it. Firebug for Firefox is probably one of the other most valuable tools, because it allows you to see what's going on the actual page. You know, if you're getting a 404s on an image, and or if you're getting, you know, timing wise, there's a whole bunch of stuff on there. And then there's another plugin for Firebug called YSlow, Yahoo makes, that kind of gives you just some high level estimates of what kind of things you're not doing on your site and things, and what you could improve that way. So, you know, a lot of that, and just staring at the server processes and tuning config files and all that kind of stuff. So
what's next with the Cache Router module, and where can people go to get more information about it?
Well, there's a bunch of good people that have been really active in providing patches, which has been amazing. And so I think the next thing is finishing session handling, and so I can release that, and some statistics, a nice-looking statistics to see what's going on with your cache. So those things are the things that are in progress and almost done. As soon as those two are done, we'll probably have a 1.0 release for 6. And then I put out a first beta for 7, but I think what we're going to end up doing is probably rewriting a bunch of stuff for 7. There's a lot of changes to the architecture I'd like to make. In 7, we no longer have to support PHP 4, so I could redo the way all my classes are working, and I'd really like to take advantage of some of the PHP 5 ways of handling object-oriented stuff. So that's probably the next thing, major thing that's going to be happening. And I'd love to see a lot more adopters of the module, so we can really get any like bugs out and really have a really solid 1.0 release. But so far, so good. So, yeah.
Well, thanks. It sounds exciting.
All right, thank you.